easily done in the near future. And of course, we also need to get the title search for 429. That shouldn't be too difficult.
What's 429?
The old code enforcement building.
Oh.
And if it's cheaper to get any other buildings that we own done at the same time, we'll do that too. I mean, it doesn't, to repeat, it doesn't mean we're necessarily going to sell them immediately. Just want to make that clear.
What? Is the title search, is the title clear on the buildings at the, the two other buildings that we've been discussing, the daycare center and the one at the foot of Front Street?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in a communication to Rebecca and Michelle, the head of HDC said they do have a title search, but I'm not sure that's correct, but I'll find out.
HDC said they had a title. Yeah,
they've done a title search to that building.
Not that they had the title, but that they had done a search.
Yeah. Oh, that's even more interesting. So, what does that mean? Yeah. But we'll figure that out. Other things is, we're in the middle of, I forget the word, the technical term, but of taking another piece of that dead end of Montgomery Street and offering it for sale because somebody wants it. Actually, two pieces. One is wanted by... Already we've committed one to Ben Fain. He wants another one. Now that he's bought the house next to it, he wants the next little piece. And then his neighbor to the east also wants the piece behind him. These are all just like pretty much dead properties. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but the first one was assessed at $50,000. And I assume the second one that Ben wants is going to be roughly the same, and that the third will be roughly the same because they're pretty much all the same size. So that's just it has no implications for housing, but it does mean some money. It's nice when you can sell some of these odd little properties like that,
Of
no use. And, there's other properties like that throughout the city that, only the person next door would really even consider buying, that kind of thing.
Well, and then they go onto the tax rolls as well, right?
Yeah.
So these bits and pieces.
That's right. That's right. It's an added benefit.
Add up.
Yep. What else to report? That's it from me. I know we were going to talk about land trust. Yeah. And Michelle was going to tell us a little bit about that.
So... our affordable housing development plan is just about finished, so we're going to be releasing that soon. And one of the strategies that the plan recommends the city consider is a land trust. And so there's kind of like two main styles of land trusts. So one is the one that we already have in Columbia County with the Columbia Conservation Area. So, you have a nonprofit that owns a large area of land that's been set aside to not be developed on for the public good. So, right now it's just been trails, but I know they have thought more about what other, public good uses could they use that land. And the idea is that, we hear from this conversation, we see bits of pieces of land kind of get chipped away and sold here or there. And so the idea is to take some of that off the market and keep it on reserve for whether it's natural uses now or whether there's other uses, whether it's housing or environmental. And so there's models where, it's nonprofit run, something like that. There's also models where if you wanted, people talk a lot about homeownership opportunities for lower income residents or moderate income residents. And one of the ways that places across the country are really successful at doing that is having land trust in which the land is owned by a board, a nonprofit, a public-private entity, and the house on top of it is like a 99-year lease. And so the benefit is that people can actually own their home, but it's a lower price because they don't own the land, and they're also paying limited taxes because you're not taxing the land. And so it's been a good bridgeway for people to move out of, income restricted rental housing into homeownership opportunities. And so that's also a consideration that our affordable housing development plan suggested. So they're, you know, having this conversation with the properties about all these different properties, and what, you know, my couple months here, you've seen how it's so easy to get kind of lost into one conversation about this property and what it should be. And some of them, their best use will be selling it, right? If you can't do anything on it, like the ones we just mentioned. But then others, you know, rather than waiting for them to kind of be sold at some point in the future, and then there's no public benefit really for them, you know, could think about certain properties in the city that could be put into a trust. And so I think it would, you know, the recommendation would be to go through a community engagement process that would look at both, you know, public input, environmental conditions, you know, economic feasibility, and then from there deciding what would be the best uses for those properties. But I think having a little more forethought about long-term, you know, we want to have development that, yeah, has had some forethought behind it and is not reactive, but it's more anticipatory of future needs. So yeah, the land trust is one model for doing that.
So, oh, go ahead, Jane.
Well, you go ahead. I mean, I've got a couple of questions, so I'll wait.
Okay, my question was, what's the best way, in your opinion, Michelle, to identify these properties and make a, I mean, do you just kind of, I mean, how do you get a collective response to what are the properties that are, that people can agree would be benefit from land trust?
Yeah. Well, I guess if we're talking about city-owned properties or, you know, HTDPA or something like that, I guess you have to look at, so for example, like things that aren't, so we have a lot of properties right there sandwiched by people's backyards or something. So like, that's not really useful because you can't see much public good to that if it's surrounded by private property already. But properties that have like a flatter topography for development, or properties that have like environmental issues that keeping them, if people were to develop on them, could be problematic, but if they're kept in a trust, we could have farther reaching. So I think looking at like what's developable, what like the surrounding character of areas, what would impact the surrounding neighborhoods, because we're thinking about what public benefits would be, we're thinking about housing, and if we think about environmental things. So I guess, you know, housing, you want to be looking at gentle density, right? So if it's, you don't want something, you want something to kind of fit in to your neighborhood while increasing density in a gentle way, and you want to have places that are just lower income or moderate income, hopefully more centrally located. Yeah, I think for the city, we don't own too much, so the biggest thing is like what would be even developable or not.
Right. Tom, can I jump in with a question?
Sure, please? Can.
So Michelle, this is a really interesting concept. I guess the question was, is whether you were presenting this theoretically or if you had really identified properties and contiguous properties that would satisfy the outline that you had presented, or is this just, if it worked, it would be great kind of thing?
In the middle of that, of like,
sure,
by that theoretically, like our affordable housing plan, like the consultant, we've looked at city-owned properties, and so they identified a couple in that plan. So like, for example, not that I'm saying this would be like perfect for land trust, but Fourth and State, you know, that lot there is a great spot that is a parking lot. It's not serving too much other use, so that would be a good spot for development. So there are some sites that I think could be good for a land trust. I don't have like a concrete list.
Okay, because the Fourth and State we've talked about
right.
for a long time. Yeah. That's the big, that's kind of the, you know, 100 or 900 pound gorilla in the room. That's the one that always comes up. But
yeah.
I just thought by the way you were presenting it that you were looking at smaller pieces that would then together form, you know, a buildable lot or something that would, that could lend itself to housing or some other social.
Yeah, you know, another viable property is on Mill Street, the south side of Mill Street. which extends all the way to Second, up that slope.
That's right. Up on the west side, Tom?
The south side.
South this, side of Mill Street.
You know, the little street that goes into the Charles Williams Park?
Yeah, like the dog park?
No, across the street and down the street. Across and down the... east of the dog park.
East of... Oh, okay. Across
that the street there?
Okay. Yep.
Where the new bike path ends?
Mm-hmm. And then there's also identified the possible but not certain property west of the basketball court at Bliss Towers. But that's that sloping land that, you know, it's questionable what you could actually do there, if you could do anything there. So, you know, there's not a ton of, as you said, Jane, there's not a lot of obvious places. And
I think Cheryl's, sorry.
Go ahead.
Cheryl.
No, you're gone.
Michelle's idea of piecing together sort of hidden gems that you know, we hadn't thought of, aside from the obvious ones, is a really interesting idea. I just wasn't sure that there were enough of them that could be pieced together that would create, you know, enough land that you could do anything with. That's all.
Yeah.
No, I think that's definitely a valid, you know, concern about scale. But I think we have some parcels for sure.
Right. And the point, Jane, I think, is that if we put out some kind of request, not necessarily an RFP, but some kind of request, RFQ, RFEI, request for interested, I don't remember. Anyway. One of those other kinds of RFs, we could develop sort of this package and develop it in a unified way rather than just, you know, as Michelle said, doing it piecemeal
I mean, it would just seem absolutely, I totally agree, Tom. I would just think that the first step would be to pull together an inventory of that land and then do the RFQP, whatever.
Right.
There's definitely also the land at the end of 7th Street along on Washington, which is currently used for parking by the firehouse there.
Yeah, a little bit. It's main, believe it or not, the main use has been robbed to dump snow.
Right.
He dumps it behind there, doesn't he?
Yeah, in the back of it, yeah, sort of.
I think, yeah. And there's possibly other stuff being dumped there, too.
That was further back. And
yeah. You know, that kind of falls off. I mean, I don't know the topography that well or how much
it falls into the ravine.
It does. You go and you go and you go and then boom, it just
there's a ravine.
Falls off a cliff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then anyway, Oakdale.
That isn't to say that isn't a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
It surely is.
Yeah. So the question, I guess, for the committee would be, do we want to, you know, move forward with some kind of RF? To establish this land trust and identify the properties and see where it takes us.
Wouldn't we identify the properties first?
Yes. I mean, well, yeah, sorry.
Okay. I'll jump in and say, I think I'm all for identifying, of pulling together an inventory of properties and getting exactly an idea of what it is we have to work with.
Yep.
And then moving forward, but I think until we know what it is, other than Rebecca brings up something really interesting about the 7th Street one, certainly the 4th and State, we've batted around forever, and the 2nd Street properties, I mean, those, you know, some of them are kind of hiding in plain sight, it seems.
Well, and the other, pointed out by one of the potential developers we've talked to in recent times, is that even potentially in play would be some of our municipal parking lots, in the sense that, not that we'd get rid of parking, but that you could incorporate parking into some kind of buildings on these lots. I mean, they're just sitting there. Think of the lot behind City Hall has potential more than just being a flat, open parking lot. I mean, that's, you know, it requires some careful planning because, you know, not everybody wants to live on top of a parking lot, but it's still a potential.
I don't don't know if it's parking, they might.
Well, you know, I keep thinking about this building I saw in Albany a couple months ago, where the first floor was parking, and it had little archways that from the street just looked dark, and you could see like the tops of cars. And then the building itself where people live was the next, you know, flight up. Mm. And I gotta say, it looked really ugly. Which isn't...
that sounds kind of strange. I wonder if there's some way where there could be, say, for example, in that municipal lot, there could be like two levels of parking and then a rooftop garden.
Right. It really would be a design challenge to do it with any, you know, to make it look good. Because this was near the university. So I have a feeling it might have been student housing, perhaps, or, you know, not by the university, but for students, you know, so they didn't really care. But it just looked like an example of what not to do when you build above a parking lot.
Well, I mean, we can go down this rabbit hole all day, but yeah, there's so many interesting things that are being done with things like green grooves and the gardens on top of buildings and parking lots and stuff like that. So they can really, you know, it can have a parking lot and it can actually be community green space on top of the parking lot. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that's done, particularly outside the U.S., more frequently than here, where we're kind of land rich.
Right.
But,
well, which is why, we've talked very vaguely with the Pocketbook Factory people about that the potential for a parking lot at North 7th. But, I mean, there's nothing in, you know, definite at all. But one of the things I think the city would want, if it did become a parking lot, is to do something more than just create a parking lot. That is to say, it would have to be one of these really state-of-the-art, eco-friendly parking lots with maybe a park above it or even housing above it, you know?
I do want to say, I feel like, you know, the place that we are with the properties and with the potential for land trust and with, you know, with the affordable housing development plan just being finished,
mm-hmm.
is that we're right where we need to be.
Yes.
In that we're where we need to make a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure. We need to begin an actual planning process. I think that's what we're also talking about, you know, finding
properties.
Consultants, or some other kind of relationship that can allow us to create a more comprehensive plan so that we don't end up, as you were saying, just sort of like using a property for something because it seems advantageous, but then later discovering like, oh, you know, potentially there was some like a more comprehensive vision of how that need could be fulfilled, you know? Like I know that the Pocketbook Factory would like to have some parking nearby, but I think that it's totally possible that it would be more important to actually encourage, you know, Pocketbook Factory, which is going to create a lot of traffic, mm-hmm. if we're not careful, basically, to really develop alternative, like, concepts for how to get their guests to their hotel.
Yep.
You know? So people take the train, they take a shuttle, something like that.
Well, you're poised to do that at the IDA if they want a pilot, right?
That's right.
No, I agree. I mean, it shouldn't just be a parking lot to accommodate them in any, you know, no matter what we do. On the other hand, you know, how much more density in that neighborhood we want in terms of big housing is a question too. You know, now that the Galvin project might go through, or should probably go through at this point, you know, would we want to build another big project there?
Well, but again, it's even more advantageous to not have it be a parking lot, but, you know, but rather have it be some kind of, what if it's an extension of Oakdale somehow? What if it's, you know what I mean? What if it's like a park or some other kind of recreational something or other for the city, you know, for people to actually.
Oh, sorry. Back to you. When is the what is Joe Chyka's thing called again? An affordable
housing? It's the A, remember this, AHDP, Affordable Housing Development Plan, AHDP.
And that's done or almost done?
It's done.
Okay.
It's done. It hasn't been publicly released, but we have received the final draft.
Okay.
And we have to now do a rollout, which the mayor's office is going to do, because it was originally the mayor's office that commissioned it.
Rebecca, can you just refer, who is behind this study?
Behind it? You mean who did it? Who did the study, or who commissioned it?
Oh, I guess I'm asking both, just to refresh.
Yeah, so the mayor's office commissioned it, and I think the commission took place before the anti-displacement grant funds came to us.
Right.
And so it was in play before the grant.
Right.
Oh,
they were trying to get it. We knew it was going to cost something like $35,000, and we were trying to get various groups to kick in, and some did. But then when Rebecca's grant came through, it made up the difference, right, Rebecca?
Okay. Yeah, we ended up being able to include some of the funds for it in the grant.
Right.
Cool.
So it's something that the mayor had commissioned. And it was done by Patterns for Progress, which is
very well respected.
Yep. And it's a very, very thorough and information-heavy report, and everybody will have a chance to read it.
And, you know, there's...
like 26 pages? What is it? No, it's longer than that.
So can you... Say,
it's 170 pages. I saw the meat.
But, like, half of that's the appendix, but the appendix is juicy.
Juicy appendix.
To go back to the subject at hand, which is the committee, which is our properties work.
Mm-hmm.
Are we now in agreement? We can kind of, you know, memorialize this, that we're going to move forward with an inventory of all city properties. So an RFQ, probably.
Well, Jane, I just want to point out we have an inventory.
Right, we did
it. We don't need to do an inventory. We
did it at the beginning. Remember?
Oh, right. Okay, so
it's more of going.
Sorry, you're
right.
Absolutely.
It's more.
Did that.
It's more about going through them and figuring out which ones are really.
Yeah. So culling that inventory to determine what works.
Honestly, I mean, we've been looking at all of these properties for a while, so it's not going to be a difficult thing to point out which ones are actually developable and which.
That's true. We just pluck them off the list. Yep.
So I think that it's. I mean, it sounds like we're interested in exploring creating a community land trust.
Mm, definitely.
With some of these properties. So that's really what we have.
So I have a question on the community land trust that maybe is most, you know, appropriately directed to Michelle. And that is that when you were talking about the home ownership, that the home would be owned by someone and they wouldn't own the land because that would be held in trust for or by an organization or a public-private partnership. Does the person who owned the house, are they at liberty to sell the house and you know, have that dwelling change hands? Is there any constraint on that?
Sure. So that like example is just like one thing that could happen on the land trust, but in the case that it was home ownership, the owner would sign like a deed restricted covenant that if they sell it, they can make a profit, but the profit's limited. So they can still, you know, build equity by selling the home, but it would still stay within a window so that the next person would buy at an affordable rate. Yeah. And then if someone were to like improve the home or something, then that they could like reap the delta in the amount of improvements they put in.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks. That makes sense.
It would make a lot of sense, for example, down on Mill Street, where, you know, you could have, say, 2 and 3 family homes or whatever, that this could work, as opposed to some big apartment building.
Yeah, that would be ideal. That would be far better than a monstrous apartment building, in my view. Better use of that land. And if it gives opportunity to someone to acquire equity at a lower cost, that's actually the real super duper benefit.
Sure. Anything else anybody would like to talk about? So what do you think we should do, Rebecca? Just work on that. Oh, go ahead.
What were you going to say? Sorry.
So come up with, you know, go over the, cull the inventory and come up with the properties we think are potential land use, land trust properties, and then issue an RFP or whatever we want to call it, RFQ.
RFQ. Well, yeah. So the question is like, so the RFQ is, are we looking for a consultant to help us develop a land trust? Okay. Yeah.
I think so.
And yeah, that sounds like what we need to do.
Okay. So I think that's in Michelle's ability. I don't know. I never know exactly what to ask.
Well,
we can ask
a combination of Michelle and Peter Bougineau.
Okay. Right.
Michelle, because so Peter Bougineau has been responsible for the RFQs for the city for a while, which I believe he does basically on a volunteer basis. But yeah, Michelle, with her housing and planning background, can create, you know, the framework.
Cool. Well, that gives us an agenda for the immediate future.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Michael, do you have anything to contribute?
No, I don't. Thanks.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to put you on the spot, really.
I appreciate it.
Welcome. What else? I guess that's it. You know, we all anxiously await the news about the CAS. And you know how that's going to go forward, and what the planning board today was very interested in being able to somehow also, you know, have some input in what happens there. And I think the prospective buyer will be very cooperative with all the city agencies, and even, you know, we'll get Michelle in touch with them as well, you know, to see what she can contribute to what they envision. But I think it'll be a good, whatever happens there will be a good thing, I hope. Despite what you may have read in the paper about a, quote, new neighborhood, I don't think that's really how we want to conceive of it. I know this is off the track, perhaps.
Well, I'm not sure why are saying that, because I mean I think that maybe when people talk about a new neighborhood, I think they're kind of holding that up as a way of saying, instead of, for example, creating like some like standalone, like I don't know, you know, Disneyland.
No, that's what actually a new neighborhood implies to me, is a standalone sort of entity, and that's what was so wrong.
No. Okay. I don't think that's what.
Okay.
Or well, I'd be really surprised. I think that you know, there's more of an idea. I mean, the ideas that I've heard anyway have to do with continuing the city grid.
Right. That's what I'm in favor of too. And if just for a little history, that's what was so wrong about the various proposals that were on the table last time this all went. The CAS, you know, went out for proposals. They really were standalone things. Whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Really isolated from the rest of the city in many ways. Anyway, I guess that's it. Unless somebody has something else they'd like to discuss. We got a game plan. And I'll keep you posted about any other property transactions or whatever. You know, it's just, as you may know, this whole business of title searches and surveys, it's not easy to get somebody right now, and they're all charging premiums. So, but we'll get it done.
In that vein, I think the, you know, sort of a bulk order, if you would be more advantageous, because we don't want to have to go back to the well.
I know, right? I agree. And to repeat for the 20th time, actually the second time, just because we get a title search, doesn't mean we're actively selling a building. Good Lord. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye,
all. Yeah.
Solar at 5.
Solar at 5.
There's news, if you're interested.